the big things other people do and the big projects other people have and all the things they do, if it is not done to the best of their knowledge and ability. Now, the story which came to me is a story, I'll tell you two similar stories really. One is for during this period of Shoghi Effendi. I knew a man who was called Charles Dunning. I don't think any of you had met him. He was an Englishman. He was a man from Yorkshire. Some of you could read his account of his life in the Baha'i World, one of the volumes of the Baha'i World, in the Memoriam. He was illiterate. He hardly could write his name. He was if you looked at him, I don't want to describe it, what it was like physically. This man had such a pure heart and so frank, and none of these conventions that we are familiar with, none of these conventions he ever understood or carried it out. And yet he was the beloved of Shoghi Effendi. You know, Shoghi Effendi loved him so much, and he showered so much love upon him. Someone arranged for him to go. He was one of the Knights of Baha'u'llah. He went to the islands, the Orkney Islands, in the north of Scotland. And he taught the faith. He left behind him so much memories. But he was very frank, and the language wasn't what you would expect from a Baha'i sometimes. But this didn't mean anything, because the language which came out of him was purely from a very pure heart. You know, when he went to see Shoghi Effendi, when he went on pilgrimage, I'll just give you an example of the language. Shoghi Effendi so much loved this person, he always made him to sit at his right hand side at the table. He used to call Shoghi Effendi, who said, "Guardian, this is not right," he said. This is how he would talk to the guardian. "What you said is not right." He just had this. And once Shoghi Effendi said to him, "I have given some more plans to the British Baha'is. They are not going to like it." He said, "You are talking rubbish." Now, you know, this is the man. He didn't say rubbish. There was a slang in the which means rubbish. He says bunkum, guardian, and he didn't understand what bunkum means, and it meant rubbish. You're talking rubbish. Now I think, but now the love that Shoghi Effendi had for him had no bounds really. And he was such a simple man that he used to sign his name. He could only write his name, Charles Dunning. He would write down there KB after his name, means Knight of Baha'u'llah. You know, the British people who are knighted, they are usually called KBE. You know, they write down after name. These are the titles. And he always used to write his name, Charles Dunning KB. Well, it was always the same thing. Abdul Baha had so many disciples who were like this, and he loved them. There was a believer, now this is a believer, I never found his name. And we were told the story many times, but I failed to get the name from my father when he was telling us the story. But this person remains unnamed. But he was telling us the story that, you know, when people went to see Baha'u'llah, usually you wrote, you said you're coming, you got permission, you then would arrive in Akka, then the master Abdul Baha would arrange for you to stay in the pilgrim house for a few days, to rest, to settle down, to look at your clothes, to see if you had sufficient means, and then they would arrange for you to come into the presence of Baha'u'llah. But this man didn't know any of these things. He was such a simple soul. He started to travel from Yazd. He began the journey, and he walked all the way. He had nothing but a little bag on his shoulder. He was an elderly man. And he was going to see Baha'u'llah. He wanted to see his Lord. And he came to Akka, eventually. somehow he found his way, and he began to ask people where he can see the house of Baha'u'llah is, and they showed him the house. So he comes in and he finds there are some stairs. He goes up the stairs. There was nobody around at the time, but then he hears a lot of people in the room. You know, Baha'u'llah was in this room. He just goes near the door. He puts his head through the door, looks around, and he says, "Which one of you are Baha'u'llah? This Baha'u'llah." And Baha'u'llah embraces him, showers so much love upon him, and then he says, "Bring tea for him." He says, no, that's trouble. Don't get into trouble." And after a few minutes, after an hour sitting there, he says, "Well, I think I better go, and not to cause any more difficult troubles, I'll go." You know, this is how, I mean, nobody would ever leave the presence of Baha'u'llah unless he would dismiss them, you know. This is how it was. But this man was a simple soul. And this is what matters, really. Simplicity in our soul and in our heart. And that cup of tea that you make with love and with simple heart and with devotion, that is much more fruitful than all the things some others may do in the faith. Well, now, there are some questions here. Somebody says, is this person who is, your wife is not with you, right? What? She'll be here. Oh, you're taping it. All right. This is a question. He says, could you speak on the process of the lesser peace, the emergence of the faith from obscurity, and the completion of the Ark on Mount Carmel, and how these are related? This is quite a vast thing. She wants to know everything. Really wants to know everything. Well, I chose this question because it's a good question, and it will probably give us a little picture of the faith in the future. This is more or less the subject that we were discussing at the Dublin Conference, International Conference, that, you know, from the writings, and I have heard this is Pilgrim's Notes, but I have compared this Pilgrim Notes with the writings of Shoghi Effendi, and I found out that almost everything that is in this Pilgrim Notes, they are recorded in various parts of Shoghi Effendi's writings, and if you put them together, it'll tally with what Shoghi Effendi had said to this believer. There's only one or two things that I could not identify in the writings. And that is that, first of all, the lesser peace. As you know, the lesser peace, and this is not part of the Pilgrim Notes, I'll come back to it later. As you know, the lesser peace is a political peace. Baha'u'llah has said to Queen Victoria that if you, now that you have rejected the Most Great Peace, which is a spiritual establishment of his world order in the world, now that you have rejected it, at least you should adhere and bring about a lesser peace, so that wars could be abolished. Now, you see, we were talking yesterday about the creativity of the world. Because Baha'u'llah said this, we shall have a lesser peace. And if we don't want to have a lesser peace, we will be forced to have a lesser peace. You see now how the word of God is effective? We will be forced. Because man will come eventually to a point of recognizing that if he takes one more step, the whole world is going to be destroyed. And thus he says, that's enough. So the lesser peace will come. It will come at a point that mankind has really exhausted itself. And then he has no choice but to accept what Baha'u'llah has said. Now, those of you who were here, I was talking the story of the egg. You remember? The egg and the opening of the egg. The cause of God is now, the institutions of the faith now are in their in obscurity. I'm talking of the institutions of the faith. People do not know what our institutions are for. No matter how much you try to explain what is a local spiritual assembly doing, the generality of mankind does not appreciate it. In fact, we ourselves, as we were talking yesterday, may not appreciate it fully, of what the significance and the importance of these institutions are, that these are going to be one day the basis of the government for mankind. I'm not saying it's going to be necessarily the government, but they are going to have a great share. Who knows how they will develop and what they will do, these houses of justice. No one can say how these houses of justice will fit in to the running of the world, the management of the affairs of the world, how our national assemblies will fit into it, how the governments will fit into it, how we cannot say these things. It's nobody can ever foresee how these things will emerge. And the only way that Shoghi Effendi has described it to us, when they asked him, tell us what the unfoldment of the administrative order is going to be like, how will it shape up, he says two things will enable us to understand the unfoldment of the administrative order of Baha'u'llah and the emergence of his world order. Two things. One, he said, is the passage of time. You have to wait, in other words. And the other is the guidance of the House of Justice. Now, this is exactly the same in nature. If you, as I said, everything we have in the faith, you can trace it to nature. Now, in nature, you will find that anything which has an organic growth, say for instance a tree, example of a tree, the tree, once you plant the seed, you cannot ever say what this tree is going to be like until you give it time. Passage of time will tell you what this tree is going to look like, how big it's going to be, how many branches will it have. And the other thing, this is one element, the passage of time. The other one is the laws of nature, which must be allowed to run through this whole process of growth and development. The laws of nature must be allowed to work through this tree. And through these two elements, we can know what this tree is going to be like. Exactly the same thing here is with the development of the administrative order. Two things, the passage of time and the guidance of the Universal House of Justice for centuries maybe to come. Then we know what the world order of Baha'u'llah is like, how it will manage the affairs of the world, how it will run the affairs of the world, how all these institutions will come together to form a complete, a coherent system which will govern mankind. But at the moment, the faith is the institutions of the faith, local and national and international. They are in obscurity. And mankind does not know what they are for. Now, the time appears from the writings. It appears from the writings that when Baha'u'llah says that when the limbs of mankind have quaked, when it has really trembled, when the old order has been crumbled down, he says, then and only then. You see, these are his own words. Then and only then will the divine standard be unfurled. In other words, then and only then people will recognize what we are saying and what we are having, what we are building. They are going to see, just like when the egg breaks up and opens up, you're going to see the new life emerging. And then people can see a new life. But that new life is just born. The institutions just have emerged. Nobody can say that once a child is born, he can immediately manage, he can immediately act as a grown-up person. You have to wait time for it to grow. Centuries has to wait, maybe. When the world order of Baha'u'llah, when the institutions of the faith emerge, in the words of Shoghi Effendi, the evolvement, he says, the evolvement, you see in one of his letters, the evolvement of local and national institutions, when that takes place, and he mentions when it will take place. I will talk to you about it now in a minute. The evolvement of Baha'i local and national institutions of the faith. It is just an emergence. It's just people will see it. They can see what potentialities there are in it. But it cannot immediately take over now the affairs of the world and begin to rule it. Rule the world. The institutions of the faith cannot do that. We have to have an interim form of government in the world, which would then, from the lesser peace onwards, could then manage the affairs of the world until such time that the world order of Baha'u'llah can then come in and take over gradually as time goes on. Now, Shoghi Effendi has given us a timing for this. In one of his letters, he mentions that when the buildings on Mount Carmel, the building of the Ark, are completed and the world center of the faith begins to function, and which is quite a long way to go yet by the look of things. We have to build up more buildings, three more buildings, as you know. There are two buildings already built on the Ark, the Archives building and the building of the House of Justice around the Ark. But there should be three other buildings. One is for the study of the writings, which I understand will be built between the Archives and the House of Justice. And then the other two buildings, the International Teaching Center and the Public Library, and the General Library, International Library. These five buildings then completed, and then the beautification of the gardens, the terraces to be made, the functioning of the world, of the world center of the faith, when they all begin to function. Shoghi Effendi says it will coincide with two things. One is the emergence of the lesser peace, and one is, as he puts it, the evolvement of both local and national institutions of the faith. Now, it is then that peoples of the world are able to at least appreciate, to some extent, what these institutions can do for the future of mankind. But as I said, it will take a long time for the world order of Baha'u'llah to come into being. Now, from here on, I'm going to describe this story of this pilgrim's note. And you must take, but as most of these points that I'm mentioning, or you can find it in the writings of Shoghi Effendi, here and there, put them together. You know that, now I'm not yet talking about that pilgrim's note. Let me give you a little bit more background to it. You know that the teachings of God, the social teachings of Baha'u'llah in this age, are such that the generality of mankind without being Baha'is, can and will put them into operation without knowing where they come from. This is the spirit of the age. And when this lesser peace is coming, Shoghi Effendi has said in this pilgrim's note again, which I haven't been able to identify, maybe our friend Ted can tell us if he's found anything, which he says that the lesser peace and the maturity of mankind are one and the same thing. The coming age of humanity, which Baha'u'llah refers to in his writings, and the lesser peace are one and the same thing. Now, I don't know. I haven't been able to find it in the writings, but this is the pilgrim's note. But from the signs, if you look at the signs of the coming of age of humanity, which Baha'u'llah has given us signs for it, you can believe this. You can accept this. Because Baha'u'llah have said in some of his tablets about the coming of age of humanity, a time that humanity will come of age, like a man who becomes 21. And he has given us three signs for it, Baha'u'llah. Now this is in the writings. One is the establishment of a universal language. So you see, this is not very far away. It's not something which you can say it's going to be hundreds of years, but it is something which is round the corner, you can say, because the man is needing it more and more. The other sign is that kingship, the institution of kingship, will be such a discredited institution, it will be so discredited that people do not want to take on the burden of kingship, if you offer it to them even. Well, this has happened already. The discrediting of the institution of kingship. Kingship. Now, it does not mean that we Baha'is believe that there should be no kingship in the faith, in the future. In fact, this is one of the teachings of Baha'u'llah. He says God would prefer, God likes to see a system of kingship coming into being, rather than the system by which you have presidents. Because, he says, kingship is a sign, it projects the majesty of God.